Praise the Lord. Thank you. You guys may be seated. Bless you. Praise the Lord. Amen. That was an awesome fellowship session there. So good morning, everybody. And I hope everyone had a great week. And are looking forward to the coming week. Amen. Yeah, today is another day to rejoice, to celebrate. You know, if in light of everything going on in the world, it's always good. You know, some people who are going through stress and catastrophes, and they're not worse than us. And there's nothing more special than us, really, compared to them. So we should always thank God for the privilege and then never forget those people. You know, there's the ones we see in the news, the folks in Ukraine and all, you know, all that stuff. Sometimes it's so far detached, but they are human beings like us. So, you know, in all things, we should always keep them in prayer. Thank God for the privilege we have and never take anything for granted. Amen. Praise the Lord. So I guess one thing also that I just put down in my note. Yesterday, I was outside with some friends, and it always brings to mind that, hey, summer is coming around the corner, right? So, you know, we need to take advantage of the beautiful weather. If you have time, don't just stay inside. Go outside, because very soon, it's going to be chasing us all inside. So we should always enjoy the beauty we have here. A lot of people are coming down here from different places to enjoy the weather, and God has blessed us to be here. So now we have good stuff. When you have time, go outside and praise the Lord. And also, I would like to, I'm up here, thank God for last week, my mom had the surgery, and God blessed her. She came out successful. She's not here, but she said to say thank you for the prayers and concerns. So we thank God for that. Today's message is, Pastor Peter tasked me with giving the message today. And one of those weeks, it's been one of those weeks where, a couple of weeks actually, where I've been chasing so many things. And so I asked God, hey, I need a topic, help me out here. And several things came to my head, but they always kept coming back to fellowship. Talk about fellowship. Why do we fellowship? Why do you fellowship? It's something maybe sometimes we take for granted, but it's good to be in the midst of God's children. So what God laid in my heart today is for us, a message for us to kind of just talk about something that sometimes we put in the back burner, but it is something critical. It is something that is necessary for God's children to reflect on, to practice, to put into action, the act of fellowship. So today I want to talk about fellowship. Why do we fellowship? Why do I fellowship? It's a question I ask myself. So why do you fellowship? And with that, I want to get a point from somebody. It's not just me talking. I want to ask someone, chime in. And somebody has to say something. Why do you fellowship? And you can, in fellowship, you know, crosses a whole range of, there's various messages that can be talked on fellowship. So it has a lot of meaning to each and everyone. But why do you fellowship? In terms of why do you come to fellowship in the house of the Lord? So someone give me a response. And you can. That we should not accept ourselves from fellowship. So she said that is God's word to us, that we should not absent ourselves from fellowshipping with one another. Amen. Praise the Lord. Who else wants to add, what does fellowship mean to you? Go ahead, sister. Amen.
What you know, you tell you what
Praise the Lord. Iron sharpeneth iron. So these are all points that enhances our understanding of God's purpose for us. We come, we bounce off each other, we take the blessings, we share blessings as we come together. The blessings, the anointing on pastor rubs off on me, the anointing from you rubs off on the other person, the anointing from the musicians rubs off on us, and we get edified. Our knowledge in Christ increases, and then we share fellowship with each other. Praise the Lord. So, I mean, it's something that I want us to think about even as we live today. Always continually ask ourselves, why do we fellowship? Because the more we think about it, the more we focus on it, the more we enjoy being with God's children. The more we can encourage others and say, hey, this is why I come to fellowship in the house of the Lord. This is the blessings. This is the increase in myself. And as more people get that, then you have more people coming and saying, hey, let's partake. Let's see what this what the trick is, and let's enhance ourselves. So our verse today will be from 1 John. 1 John 1, and I'll read from 1 to 4. So if we can put that up, it says, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifest and we have seen it and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard we declare unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full, may be complete. So if you look in verse 3 there, it says, that we have seen, we declare, that ye may have fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with our Lord Jesus. So he begins off by talking about the manifestation of God, you know, and I hope we all know what he's talking about, you know, talking about Jesus coming down and actually doing what? I mean, God came from heaven, whatever, he can do whatever he wants, but no, he said, I'm going to come to show each and every one of us the importance of being together. And he came down and he dwelt, he slept with, he ate, he worked, he partook in our afflictions, in the stresses of life, all that thing, he fellowship. That is fellowship, being together. So Jesus did that. So John is telling all of us, because these messages are for, not just for the people there, it's for us. To reflect, to edify us, to sharpen us. He's saying that which we have heard, which we have seen, which we have felt, we declare unto you, that ye may also fellowship. And by doing all that stuff, our joy will be complete. We will have full understanding. Our understanding will increase about our Father, about God's purpose for us. Praise the Lord. Now I go on also, and on verse 7, I want to read that. It says, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Yes, thank you. We have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us from all sin. So true fellowship comes about, really we get into true fellowship once we have accepted the Lord in our life. Once we have said, Lord Jesus, come cleanse us through. If you're listening online, if you're listening to this, that is how fellowship is really enhanced. How we get full understanding and how we have true fellowship with another. is by accepting the Lord Jesus in our life, practicing his word, and having his blood cleanse us. Then we can begin to understand what that fellowship means, what the joy is. Your joy can now become complete. You can begin to partake. You know, last week we had the communion fellowship. You can begin to understand that. So that's one point I would like us to note, that to get into true fellowship, you have to be cleansed. Praise the Lord. So with that said, you know, I would like us to explore a little further. What is true fellowship as defined by the word? If you go to, if you read the Bible, and I did an online search, you can look through, like, a lot of times in the Old Testament, they practiced fellowship, they practiced communion with each other. But emphasis in the word didn't really start talking about fellowship till our Lord came down here. Then fellowship began to, and if you read the Bible, in the New Testament, a lot of reference to fellowshipping with each other. Paul used that a lot in a lot of the messages he gave. If you look at the history, though, fellowship in the old Greek word and all that really means having something in common. Having something that unites you, sharing something, sharing with one another. So again, the question of the message is, why do you fellowship? Why do we fellowship? Are we practicing true fellowship, sharing with another, calling each other, checking on each other? And by the way, I'd also like to add, fellowship, yes, the Bible tells us, you know, do not be unequally yoked, and the Bible gives us guidance on how we live our life. But at the same time, we need to know that all children, even those who rebel, are God's children. And it takes God's will, yes, exposed to them. It's not for us to. So we have to practice fellowship and teach others, even those outside the fold, show them the love. Because fellowship is what is love, manifestation of love. So sometimes as Christians, we stay in our own little, you know, groups and stuff. But true fellowship, practicing true fellowship is being out there. It's not just necessarily that that you preach to someone. You can preach to someone, and if you don't practice brotherhood, if you don't practice love, they will discount you, because what you're saying doesn't mean anything. You're not practicing what you're saying. So you have to, sometimes you have by your actions, that is how we get people to actually see that we are practicing the fellowship of the Lord. So if you go to the history, it talks about fellowship, unity. Now, I'd like us to look at Acts 2, verse 44. If you can pull that up. Acts 2, verse 44 talks about... Yeah, let me find that and read. Can we pull it up? And all that were believed, and all that believed were together and had all things in common. So now you look at when fellowship, what happened? The children of, well, after Jesus left, the disciples all came together in a room. They were living their lives, sharing things, helping each other, trying to keep the love, because they had a lot of things coming to try to divide them. So they had to come together. They shared all things. And in that atmosphere of true brotherly love, guess what? The Holy Spirit came. And he manifested his gifts upon the children of God. What happened after he came? Action. They were able to now go forth and start really expanding the word of God. Start being able to demonstrate and put into practice what the Lord left unto them. They were able to now start manifesting the gifts of the Spirit, as well as the fruits. But you could see that all that did not really happen if they were not together in one accord. They all believed, all that believed were together and had all things in common. So we need to start asking ourselves, do we do cliques? Do we only interact with certain people? How do we live our lives? How do we fellowship? Not necessarily just coming to church. You know, we come to church, we go. No. If you do that, that means you're not really interacting with one another. They had all things in common, all, you know, together. They had one spirit. And they were able to put into action. They were able to now go forth in action. True fellowship leads. It helps us touch each and everyone. Touch those around. Whether you're at work, whether you're in school, whether you're in sports, in here in the States or anywhere else, they encourage people, athletes, to do a lot of things together. They put them in the same room, put them in the same hostels. You know, you go to class, you interact with each other. That is how true fellowship really develops. How we can really, if you don't talk to each other, you only see each other on Sundays and you move on, you won't know anybody. You won't really understand. Somebody won't feel free to share to you, hey, I'm going through this thing or this or that. Messages for all of us, including myself standing here. We have to put into practice the word of God. And that's by really having true fellowship amongst ourselves. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Fellowship is how we build up. How we build up spiritually, physically, number-wise. How we build up in our family. If we want to grow numbers, we have to demonstrate true love. We have to demonstrate the unity. And then when we bind together, it won't be easily broken. Amen? Fellowship is how we get into manifestation of God's power. Let's read Ephesians 3. I like to read chapter 3, 8 to 11. So Paul, in this message, he says, unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I shall preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world had been hidden God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. To the intent now that unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the wisdom, the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ our Lord. Now it talks about, I think is what our sister said, iron sharpened iron. By coming together, we can now understand the mystery of God. We can understand that by being by ourselves, by teaching ourselves, by, you know, we have to commune with each other. Then we'll begin to sharpen each other. Then we can be sharpened. And once we're sharpened, that's only when we can truly impact those out there. That's when we can impact those in schools, those at our jobs, those that are in our workplaces, those we, our family, our children, our extended families. You know, we hear Christians who have disjointed unity in their family. Who the son doesn't talk to the father, the mom doesn't talk to the daughter, the brother doesn't talk to the brother, all that stuff. Now we call ourselves Christian, and it happens a lot. By God's grace, it's not amongst us, but it is out there. Part of our task as God's children is what? To expound the mystery of God, which is deep unity. This is how we can teach others, and hopefully even in ourselves, we can have good relationship with our children by having that unity, by committing together, by sharing, by teaching the love, by understanding that in the body of Christ, there are different functions, and the only way all those can come together is when we stay together. Praise the Lord. It is how the church can grow. It is how the church affects each other. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, I like that chapter. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 has a lot of gems in it. I like to use the word gems. It talks about the different functions of the different, you know, parts in the body. You know, with that said, let's pull that up. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I'll read a few verses on there. So, can look at verse 4. It says, now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. Verse 12 says, for as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. You can jump to verse 21, and it says, and the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of thee. You know, someone may say you're belaboring the point. But what I want us to take is just one point. We have to be united. And that only comes about by understanding that in the body, like Paul says, and actually if you look in the Bible, in Romans, in so many different places, talks about different functions. Sometimes, you know, everybody focuses on their own one function, not realizing that all of it has to interact together. And some say, oh, I'm a singer. That's it. You know, I do my stuff and boom, I'm out. Or, you know, I'm an usher. I do my stuff and I'm out. Or I'm a parent and I do my stuff and I'm out. But it doesn't end with that. Because that's basically when we do that, that means you're telling, you know, this, the head telling the feet, I don't need you. But guess what? My head will just roll down the stairs because it doesn't work that way. So it all comes about by that deep understanding that the body is one, the family is one, and we have to practice and put fellowship into action. Sounds like a simple thing, but that really defines the church. If the church is not bound in union and everybody is separate doing their own thing, the prudence that we talked about a few weeks is not being manifested in that action. Praise the Lord. Iron sharpened iron. So what does that mean? It means that I share my knowledge with you in all aspects of life. Whether in managing finances, whether in raising our kids, whether in telling this person, hey, this will benefit you. Spiritually, all around, whatever you enjoy in life, true fellowship is starting off with those around you, your children, your brothers, your sisters. That is how we can expand each other's horizon. If we look at Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24, let's take a look at that. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Let's look at 25 also. Not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more as the day approaches. Amen? So that's telling us to exhort one another. If I know something, I share it with you. If I know something that will benefit you in growing your wealth 10 years down the line, if I know something that will stand out for you, if you see a brother struggling, you give them, you say, oh, brother, I give you $20, or I give you $100. But the brother has no knowledge how to enhance themselves. You're not really doing, you mean you're temporarily helping the person with that solution. But that's, if you're in school and you see somebody struggling with a subject and you have an understanding that can make it better for that person, for your brother, your sister, someone you're trying to preach to, and you keep that to yourself. But it all comes about sometimes, how do you know what somebody is struggling with if you don't really have true fellowship with that person? You don't make assumptions. Oh, that person, he dresses great. Ha. Ah, he's, you know. No. You have to know somebody, right? You exhort each other. Message is for all of us. So we have to, the whole point of is, by God's grace, I pray that as we live here every day, because each morning, actually, I always ask myself, why do I fellowship? Why do I commune with each other? It enhances me. Some people will say, oh, they come to church, they like the music. If the music is not good, oh, I don't have to go to church. Shows you have no clue, really, what true fellowship is. Because what that means is all you come to do is what? To take, right? Some people will come and they say, oh, people in this church, maybe they don't dress well. Ah, that means they're not up to my par. So we ask ourselves, what do we come for? Each day you come to the house of God, come for a purpose. True purpose comes to sharpen themselves, to learn, to impact others. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Fellowship includes bringing our kids to church, right? That's how they learn. Telling others the benefits of having their children understand the word of the Lord. That is how our children stay grounded. If you're at home and you don't bring your children to the house of God, they don't have that unity, that bond. Those are the bonds that as they go to college, as they go anywhere in life, they will have people to fall back on, right? Because there are so many factors trying to tear us, how much more our children from God when they go to colleges or they start in real life. The only way we can have a head start to prevent that is what? Is to bring our little ones to the house of God so they begin to understand the importance of unity. The importance of unity in their household. You have dinner time with your children. You all stay together. Not everybody take their food, go to their room. And no. You have family time to talk about the word. Those are important things we do that establishes a sense of unity. Husband and wife have a discussion, pray together. All those little things. Fellowship is not just, yes, coming to the church, to the house of God. That is greatly important. But it's stuff we practice in daily life. Praise the Lord. So with that said, ask ourselves, what are some of the reasons that some people don't take fellowship seriously? You know, you can reflect and say maybe some of the points that we've pointed out. You know, I remember, you know, like growing up, sometimes you have people who just say, oh, we come to church on Easter, you know, or we come to church on Christmas Day. Or they ask you, you know, I've talked to some people like, hey, come to church. Like, oh, are you guys, you know, are you guys having something afterwards where I can eat lunch and stuff? And there are churches out there that is the goal, which is good, you know. But that's not the sole factor that should motivate us. There are people who come to church, so you see how maybe the nice their car is or how nice their clothes is. That should not be our purpose. It is good. And children of God should never hide the blessings of God in their life, right? Because if you hide it, how will others will just say, God is not blessing this person, really. Why? No, so you should. But you ask yourself, what is the intent? And sometimes other people will see some activities and they read things wrong and they say, oh, you know, these people are just coming to do this. I'm not going to partake. So we should always ask ourselves, what is my intent? It's not to come to eat rice in church. No. It is not for the little ones. We don't come to church for the snacks Pastor Peter will give us. No. We come to fellowship with each other, to meet people that we have something in common with. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So I like to also, fellowship is not something, it's not a one-man show. Some people don't want to fellowship because, you know, we feel like sometimes maybe if you get too close to people in church, you know, they start telling you, oh, don't do this, or point out. And then even back sometimes, we also as Christians, we're very overly sensitive. You know, maybe we don't want to critique or tell somebody, hey, you know, this practice that I've seen you doing may not be beneficial. So fellowship does not mean not being able to tell each other, to chastise each other, to tell each other what will enhance them. You sharpen someone, and that means sometimes you have to correct each other lovingly in the Lord. Praise the Lord. We have to guide each other. If you see someone taking the wrong step, true fellowship is encouraging the person and saying, hey, is this what the Lord will have you do? True fellowship is having that freedom to speak candidly, but in love. In love. If we're able to do that, then we can grow each other. We can enhance each other. We can encourage each other to attain the greater heights that we've been commissioned by the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So the essence, and I do want to go back to that same point, is ask yourself, what is my purpose daily? Fellowship is not a one-time deal. It's not coming to church on Sundays only. It is an everyday act. Every day. Communion with the Lord. That is the number one. Communion with the Lord. That is how we understand the mystery of His power. So I left that as one of the last points. But you can't have true fellowship if you don't do what? If you don't commune with the Father. That's the very first act every day that we need to emphasize. Sometimes I forget. Sometimes I get up. I have things in my head to do. Wake up, boom, shower, boom. Run off, drop kids, this, go to work. Next thing is 10 o'clock at night. And you're like, ah. Oh. And maybe the only time you pray, maybe, is when you sit down to eat. So you haven't really communed with the Father. That should be our first act. You know, these seem basic things, but some of us need encouragement with it. Fellowship starts off by fellowshipping. We can never be too busy to make time to talk to our Father in heaven. That is the first act of the day. Talk to, just like you talk to your wife, to your parents. That is the first act. These are basic elements of life, but that's what the Lord laid in my heart for today. We commune with the Holy Spirit. I remember back, I heard, you know, someone gave an analogy that, you know, Jesus came, the Spirit of the Father came. But a lot of times, you know, the Holy Ghost is just, he's sitting and he's just listening. And he feels sad because we don't talk to him, right? He's just, he's with you. We say God is with us all the time, but we don't talk to him, right? And guess what? He feels grieved at heart. If you love somebody, you talk to the person. You communicate with that person. So that is the first act. Once we learn that, then all the other aspects of it. In the book of, in the New Testament, a lot of the chapters Paul wrote, you know, if you can make some time, you know, it's a lot of assignments we have, even from today's review session, what task does, try to refresh the word every week if you can. So, make time, read, especially for the young ones, let's teach them 1 Corinthians chapter 12 has a lot in there. If we can understand some of those key concepts, if we begin by fellowshipping with the Father, then we can now understand the importance of fellowshipping with each other, and the body of Christ as a whole can grow. Because you ask yourself, what is the purpose? The purpose is to grow in the Lord. The purpose is to understand and increase our knowledge of the Father. And the only way we can achieve that is by true fellowship. So I'd like to go back to 1 John, our key verse for today, which was 1 John 1. And I'll look at verse 4 and 7 again. Well, focus on 7. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sins. That is the beginning. If you're listening and you really want to start understanding and communing and enhancing your togetherness with each other and with Christ, you do have to take this basic first step. Having yourself immersed in the blood of the Lamb, having yourself cleansed, then you can have the open heart. Then you can have a clean slate and begin to assimilate the blessings of the Word of God. Then you can understand what true fellowship is. Praise the Lord. So that is the message for today. It's short, simple, and sweet. I do want us to take that into heart. Everything else we do, if we do not have true communion with each other, it doesn't really enhance us. We have to make it a priority. We have to reach out to folks as you have time. Encourage one another. There's so many verses in the Bible. I'm not going to go into all of them. But Paul, his key message to us, and to whether it's the Ephesians, Corinthians, all those, is what? Encourage each other. Stay united. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So that is the message for today. I'd like us to focus on it. As you go through this week, keep that in mind. Continually ask yourself, why do you fellowship? Why are you in the house of the Lord? The more we ask that, the more we can increase our own desire. We can increase our own knowledge. and we begin to appreciate one another more and more. Because by doing that, we can begin to practice the Word of God, which is love first, and then that's how we get the joy that the passage talked about. Amen.